And as they are doing so, turn with me to John chapter 19. The title of this looking down at that, I was thinking this was the apple juice that Lindsay usually sits there for me. Almost, yeah. It's like, You prayed that my throat would be anointed. The title, Hearing from Heaven, long title here, Hearing from Heaven When Change is Absolutely Necessary. All right, now let me just qualify this as if I need to qualify it to you, but when I'm talking about heaven, I'm not, you know, talking about the locale, you know. Another word that you could use, and that we use a lot more, is the word above. Like the scripture says, seek those things which are above. Above, where Christ sitteth. In other words, all of the truth and all of the reality that is settled in the one who is seated. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? It's in the one who is seated, which is Christ. And he is seated there because the work is finished. Okay, but I chose to use the word heaven because I want to shake you from any thought of a locale and to put it on this term, hearing from heaven. In other words, we got our earthly lives, we got all this stuff we're going through, and even Christian stuff and God stuff and all this stuff. But when change is absolutely necessary, folks, we need to hear from another realm. We need something heavenly. You know what I mean by that. Now, I've explained it. We need to hear from heaven. My Lord. I'm going to just say it like this. We hear from God. We do. But hearing from heaven means I need something completely out of the realm of what's going to go into my mind and go, oh, da, 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 oh, that's this and this is that and that. You know what I mean? I mean, when folks in the Bible heard from, you know, again, using this terminology, when they heard from heaven, wow, things started changing. You know, it wasn't just business as usual. And, oh, did you see, you know, this in the Word and then be the same? Oh, no. You know, we can't do that. We shouldn't want to do that. We shouldn't my wife and I were watching some movie about, it's kind of like the Ebola thing. And in the movie, the person was saying, you know, to one of the other people, we've got to contain this because once it gets out, if it goes here, then it goes da 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 da. And then they were talking about the statistically how it would go around the world and affect everybody and how bad it would be and how absolutely committed this small team needed to be to contain this and work at their best to get this thing, you know, under control. And I thought, and the main thing they were saying is because of all the people that this will affect. And I thought, oh my, you know, I don't think we think about it enough. And I'm not talking about world evangelization. I'm talking about people really being changed, you know, by Christ. And something in us, something of this little team that hears from heaven, and to people who've never heard that voice, if you know what I mean, but has never heard that voice, they can hear it and they can be affected by it, and then they can say, you know, and that's what they did with Jesus. Oh man, when he speaks, he's not like other people. Well, I'm not just talking about how we speak. You know, I'm not talking about terminology. I'm not talking about anointing. I'm talking about people hearing from heaven because we hear from heaven. And I'm talking about not giving up on getting over things, because when change is absolutely necessary, we need to hear from heaven. You know, we need to hear from heaven. All right. So my first scripture, and let me just do a little something here. Something's happening with this mic. It wants to hear from my belly button more than my face. It keeps dropping on me. And if my stomach's growling, then you'll know, you know, this guy's hungry. That's a little high, isn't it? God. Stay. All right, John 17, verse 10 and 11, and this is going to be sort of a strange scripture to start with, but it starts, I think it really well identifies at least the principle so that we can more easily grasp it as we move along. John 19, verse 10 and 11. And I'm going to read 10 and then only the first part of 11, because I don't want to get off on other stuff. Then saith Pilate unto him, and this is when Jesus is before Pontius Pilate, before being crucified. Then Pilate saith unto him, Jesus, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? All right. Okay. Yeah. We think we've got it. We think that because we have a position or this and that, we can do something. But Jesus' response, Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me except that were given thee, and here it is, from above. So we're talking about hearing from heaven. We're talking about hearing from above. We're talking about, I don't even want to define it. I want to say we're talking about hearing the Lord in such a way that we know it's not in our realm. It is from his realm and has affected earth life. Is that good? It's affected earth life. It's affected us in our earth life, where something eternal has transpired. All right. So the basic principle is this. There is no real power unless it comes from above. Everybody agree with that? Good, because that's as simple as I could get it to start with, all right? Now, let's go to James chapter 1. And this one's a little advancement on that, because we're going to gradually move into this. James, book of James, chapter 1. That's 1, verse 17. James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All right, so here we're finding out that when something, and let's just make a difference here between good gift as concerning our definition of a good gift and God's definition of a good gift. Okay. Our definition of a good gift would be this Christmas somebody give us a classic 68 Camaro. You're getting off from what I'm trying to. I didn't mean to drag you into the earth again. God's definition of a good gift from the Father is to his Son. And let me tell you, I remember the scripture where who was it? Anyway, somebody came up to Jesus and you know, they were wanting to follow him and everything. And they said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And I remember when I first read that, I went, what am I going to get, you know, in heaven or something, you know, the locale. And the Spirit began to teach me that if it comes from your father, you know, your parents, you know, it's coming down to you. It's coming down to you. And my mom had real light blue eyes. And, you know, I inherited her eyes. You know, you want to see them? I got them right here. Remember I did that in Ireland? I got her eyes, you know. And, you know, some people gray and some people don't. Deb really doesn't have any gray hair, and except in her eyebrows every once in a while. And sometimes we wonder if that's just mine falling into her hair. But we inherit different traits and different things. And good traits, good inheritance, good gifts from God, our Father. He didn't say God, it said our Father. Is to be in his image. And the image of God is Christ. The express image of God is Christ. Okay, but let's define that a little more. Okay. You know, we've been taught so much about conforming to the image of Christ and all of that, that we can no longer hear from heaven. Do you see what I'm saying? Because everything gets compartmentalized, and now we're not even open to the Holy Spirit to bring, yes, from Christ, yes, of Christ, yes, by him, all of those things, yes, seated above, yes, all of that. But all of that gets so mixed up with our theology that we get comfortable with that. And then we just drag ourselves through life saying, well, I believe this, but nothing ever happens, when maybe you need to hear from heaven or hear from above and let it invade your earth life. You say, well, you need to define that more, brother, or people are liable to think, you know, you already been thinking dumb junk when I would share sometimes. Stuff I never was saying, you know? I mean, I preached one time and I thought, oh my God, I know the Spirit delivered that. And walked to the door and somebody came up and said, oh man, that was so good, this part about. And they started talking about stuff I never even talked about. Really, that happened. I'm not joking. I'm going, what place were you in this morning? You know? Well, you know, the bottom line is, it's not about what I have to say anyway. It's about what the Holy Spirit has said. But we need to readjust our hearts to start receiving from that which is above. We need to put ourselves in a situation that we're no longer satisfied with what we have in the earth of God, but that we be invaded by the heavens or by the truth or by the life or however you want to put that. All right. We get over in Matthew 6, we get maybe one of the best short definitions here. Matthew chapter 6. This is Jesus talking in verse 10. In fact, there you go, if you can see this. It's Jesus talking in all of this because it's all red letter in my book. Okay, no question here who's saying these things. Verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All right. This is speaking of the government of God governing us in earth. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
The government of God. Well, what governs God? His being, his nature. That makes sense, doesn't it? And I've said this many times. He doesn't have, like, you know, Ten Commandments beside the throne, and somebody prays and he goes, oh, let's check it out. I don't know, man. What do we do? You know, I mean, we're so dumb. It's like, you know, he has nothing or no one that he checks in with on this stuff. It's according to his being. And he's trying to get what governs him to govern us, but not just, you know, you could say, well, you know, why didn't he just save us and then take us to glory? Well, he could do that, but right now he's trying to get what governs him to govern us in the earth. You say, well, he's mean for doing that. He could have just got us out of all this stuff. Well, then he was mean for sending Jesus down here in the midst of it, but Jesus didn't seem like it was mean. When he walked up to the leper, you know, and the leper goes, you know, would you heal me and stuff? He didn't go back off and go, dude, you know, you stand over there and I'll pray for you. You know, Jesus laid hands on him and what was in Jesus came into him and that guy changed. And Jesus walked in the midst of nobody understanding him. Anybody ever gone through, nobody understands me, and then, you know, have a big pity party, you know. Nobody understands me, and I just, you know, people think things that's just not true about me. Can you imagine Jesus going through that? Come on. But no, you know, now while we say nobody understands me, you know, nobody understood him. Right? And they ended up killing him. Okay. I'll just meditate on that one later. But he didn't allow them to murder him. He could have. He became a sacrifice. He didn't allow them. They could have. He could have gone into that attitude and said, you murder me. You know, the way we say it in Texas is, you're killing me here. You're killing me. Well, even if they're killing you, folks, if something from above, his kingdom, his government, no, not rules, not all that stuff, the government of his nature comes into us, then we are, you know, Jesus was always giving and loving and covering and healing and feeding and all of this kind of stuff all the time. So he prays, Jesus prays. There's another one of those prayer requests from Jesus. When you pray, pray this. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, not on earth. In earth. As it already is. Okay. Okay, so, you know, if you've heard that before, you can go, yeah, I've heard that. That's good. I like that. You know, folks, it's not about liking that or hearing it or, you know, it's almost worse that you've heard it. It's better to let this stuff impact us. You know, one of the things I like Paul, Galatians 2:20, we're so familiar with, but Paul is quoting that and he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And the verbs that are used in there are what we call eternal verbs. In the actual grammar, in the actual Greek, the I am crucified with Christ is actually I was crucified with Christ, having the present effect that I am yet crucified with him. In other words, what was true a long time ago is still impacting him now. Of the cross and of Christ. He didn't just go, oh, I saw that once, let's move on. It's like the word's eternal, the verbs used there are eternal. And we're supposed to be eternal. All right. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. And with this one, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. Galatians 4 and verse 25 and 26. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. And in other words, this is a type and shadow, and you I'm sure you remember the surrounding context, but he's using this as a type and shadow of the truth of who we are now. And he says, there is that which is in the earth, we'll call it Jerusalem, which now is, or is right now. It's not eternal. It is in the earth, and it's in bondage, even though it's of God. Now that's us, is what he's saying here, unless it's Christ. But not Christ, the Savior at the altar that we prayed at. And here's why I'm saying that. Yes, it is the same person. But many of us hold on to the Christ of the experiences we've had. And we never get past that to the eternal Christ that was and is to come. And therefore we are Jerusalem, which now is. And we're in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. All right, go to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. If you wonder where it's at, just flip to the back of your Bible real quick, unless you have a hefty dose of maps. Revelation 21, verse 2 and 3. All right, now, he's going to address this Jerusalem which is above. Okay, and here it is. Revelation 21, 2 and 3. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Okay? Does this sound familiar to what we're talking about? That every good and perfect thing comes from above? But it comes down into the earth. And impacts our earth. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In other words, this New Jerusalem, the heart has been affected by the heavens and specifically her husband. And so when she comes down into the earth, she doesn't get all earthly. Do you understand what I'm saying? She's not afraid. She's going, I don't want to go down there. I lived down there. But, you know, I'm trying to just paint a picture. I lived down there before, and it was rough, and it was bad, and I don't want to go down there anymore because they'll be mean to me or whatever, you know. And no. Her focus isn't the earth. Her focus isn't mean people. Jesus' focus when he came wasn't there's going to be mean people. There's always mean people. Serious. I mean, just look around the room. Oh, no, sir. There's at least two here. Kidding. She's prepared as a bride for her husband. I am prepared to live Christ in oneness with Christ. I am prepared to do that down here now. I'm prepared to do it. And then it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, look right there. Look what's coming down from God into the earth. Behold, let's see, the tabernacle of God is with men. Well, he's in her. He's in her. So she understands that what the earth needs, and, you know, I'm trying to get something across here, that what the earth needs is something from above. That what was once of the earth has heard from heaven. Now, we know that's Christ, but you've heard me say it so many times that you just go, yeah, amen, praise God. You know, we need to hear from heaven. She heard from heaven, and then she brought it down to the earth. And a big voice, and it doesn't say whose voice, but a behold the tabernacle of God, the dwelling place of God, the living place of God is coming down into the earth. Woo! You know, heaven seems pretty excited about it. You know, we're going, well, praise God for this teaching. This moved me just about that much. But it was more movement I've had in 6 weeks, so thank you, Pastor. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. Praise God. All right. Hope you don't mind us going to so many scriptures, you know, getting into the Word. Let's go back to John chapter 3. And John 3:31. We're not even going to mention verse 30 because that's the one you know so well that if I say something, you go, oh, yeah, I know what that means. You know, we need to hear from heaven now. Verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. And he that cometh from heaven is above all. I like that. He that cometh from above is above. Not only is he above, but he's above all. He's above all circumstances in the earth. Because he's talking about Jesus now in the earth. And he said, he that came from above, meaning he's now here, he's above everything. You get this Jesus, not just Jesus that saved you, not just Jesus that'll deliver you or heal you, but this Jesus, this hearing from heaven Jesus, when it's absolutely necessary for change, the one that is from above is above everything. And when he comes, he's above all of this stuff. All right. Well, theologically, that's correct. Amen? Well, we're not talking theologically. You remember how I anointed everyone today? You know, where I just went across like that? I could stand you all back up and just go, you know. Because we need to quit codifying things and quantifying things that are eternal that are not bound. Jerusalem, which is now is in the earth, it's in bondage. And we're in bondage with it. If we can't break out and have something of eternal reality take hold. Get them, Lord. <That's> a... I think I got it. Seek him who is above, not an earthly Jesus. Okay, well, how do you do that? You go, you start right now and you say, man, Lord, I must hear from heaven. I must have that which is him that you call the above one come down here and become above all. That means you've heard from heaven. You didn't just hear from me, or you didn't just, you know, it wasn't just a conference. God, help us. God, help us. And so what do we do with our lives if him who is above doesn't come down? Just drudgery, just going through the motions, just, and you know, and the bad thing is that we still talk about Jesus, you know, and we all talk about you, and we all, everybody preach, everybody blah, 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 you know? And I'm mainly talking about me, but we cannot continue to allow that in our own being. And the only person who can change that is ourselves, you know? See, we're all trying to change the earth, and you know, God's not trying to change the earth. He's trying to change us. I mean, I remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they finished praying and they stood up and the mob came and they got torches and it's dark and everything. And this guy comes, you know, that comes up and Peter pulls out a sword and lops off his ear. And Jesus doesn't walk over, the guy's name that he cut his ear off is Malchus. Jesus doesn't walk over to Malchus and go, uh-huh, see that? You shouldn't have been coming after me. This was wrong now, and you need to learn something. See, my disciples, they're with me, and they know what's going on, and I've trained them. But you, Malchus, you just showed up, so I'm going to instruct you. He doesn't do that. He turns to Peter and goes, put the sword away, picks up the guy's ear, sticks it back on, and starts rebuking Peter. I mean, if I'm Peter, I'm going, what the heck's going on here? I'm with you, dude. I've been with you. I'm trying to protect you here. This guy's going to take you away and try to hang you on a cross. You know, you shouldn't be rebuking me, man. I'm your main man. I'm your right-hand man. I'm standing up for you. Rebuke that idiot. He shouldn't even be here. Does that sound like anything you've ever had go through your mind? I'm just trying to make it clear to you that God's dealing with you. So he's not trying to change the world. He's trying to form Christ in us. And he started with 12 and he ministered to them and he stuck with them until he was gone. All right, I should have told you to keep your place in Galatians. Go back to Galatians 2. Still happy I'm preaching this morning? Somebody said, oh boy, Randy's going to preach today. And in the middle of the sermon, they go, well, whatever happened to Ben? Galatians 2. All right. I want to talk about, by the way, so far, everything I've shared has genuinely been my introduction. Yeah, so don't worry. Time I get through, everybody will be out of the restaurants. They will have eaten, and there'll be plenty of room for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, we're going to talk about Peter. Not in the Garden of Gethsemane cutting off ears. We're going to talk about Peter, a man who needs to change. All right? We're going to delve into this thing so that we can see God at work in a person's life and how he does it. Okay? Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him. This is Paul talking about Peter. Oh, boy. But when Peter was come to Antioch, which is where Paul hung his hat, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, before he rebuked him, before him withstood him, before that, certain came from James. He did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, I'm going to give you a hint. We're not going to go there so much, but just a few verses down is where he quotes Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Okay? All right, so what do you have here? You got a man, his name's Peter, and this guy is chosen of God. Jesus chose him. He one of the first ones even chosen in the whole thing. Chose him out of all the world, one of 12. Chose him, brought him close, and was during that walk, can I say it like this? During 3.5 years, Peter walked closest with God, with Jesus. He spent a lot of time with him, get it? He heard a lot of teaching, get it? But Peter still got problems even after the resurrection. Well, didn't the resurrection fix everything? Didn't the cross fix everything? No. No. So I'm going to just say it like this, folks. I don't care how many years you've been with the Lord. Doesn't matter. And it's not even about me caring. God doesn't care how many years you've been with the Lord. If you're dried up because you haven't heard from heaven, if you understand what I'm saying, you haven't had any stuff coming from above, then something's fixing to turn loose here. All right, so let's see this progression here. I can't remember if we're going to. I'm just going to have you turn to Acts. Acts chapter 10. Starting with verse 9. What we're going to read here is the story of Peter's encounter with Cornelius. And some of you know what that is, but some of you may not know so much. But we're going to read this encounter. And we're going to eventually see here that when what is above comes to us, it brings a major adjustment. Okay. Acts 10, verse 9. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. This is Peter. And he saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now this is after the resurrection. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not common." This was done thrice. Thrice is how many times? Good for you. Amen. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. Now let's drop down to verse 27 and 28. Now this is Peter talking, or will be talking. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is unlawful, it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. All right. So we've got Peter, who is prejudiced. He is, okay, so we don't like prejudice. Okay, we got Peter who is preferenced. He's preferenced. He has things that he prefers. How many have things you prefer? Raise your hand. Get them, Lord. Anyway. No, the truth is, it's okay to prefer certain things as long as you don't let it stand in the way of what's God. But Peter was letting it stand in the way of what's the cross and what's the resurrection and what's the life of Christ. And so verse 11, and saw heaven opened. Heaven opened. He saw heaven opened. Oh my God. Now, when I'm talking about this stuff, I'm not talking about when church is over, we walk outside and the clouds roll back and, you know, you see something spooky. I don't know what. I'm talking about hearing from heaven, if you can continue to follow the way that I've said it. Also, verse 11, and a certain vessel descending. Not just a sheet, a certain vessel descending. What? Descending? What does that sound like? Maybe Revelation 21? Where the bride of him, the one that loves him, the one that wants to be conformed to him, the one that is with him, says, I'm not going to stay up here. I'm going to come down into the earth and let you live through me, not just be my Lord sitting on a throne in heaven. Not just. I didn't say not. I said not just. You have to listen to what I'm saying. Descending, a certain vessel descending, and then verse 13. Well, I'm going to skip verse 14 so we don't take too much more time. But verse 13, and there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And then verse 15, and the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Verse 16, this was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. This guy, God had to deal with him? I don't know the order of any of this. I mean, the order could quite possibly be that he was prejudiced or preferenced in Galatians 2 when they'd come to Antioch, and then Paul had to go, look, buddy, the gospel is that we're crucified with Christ, and Christ is our life, and we don't live after the flesh. We don't live by the earthly things that seem so important in Shadowland called the Old Covenant. But now we live by life. And the life we live, or the life that he lives, is from above. And that which is from above is above all things. That's what Jesus said, or what was said of Jesus. He that is above all. And so Paul lays that on Peter, but still he doesn't get over it because he didn't hear from above, he heard from Paul. You get it? All the preaching in the world ain't going to fix you. unless, and sometimes, I believe it's possible sometimes in the midst of somebody preaching that you can literally hear from heaven. But it doesn't come from man. And I thought it was interesting that God separated these two things and made sure that he changed when he heard from heaven and not just from man. All right. Acts 15, most of you know this. So there's this big argument in Jerusalem. There's a bunch of Pharisees that have gotten saved. Okay? And so they're trying to get everybody circumcised. And they're trying to get people to still follow the law. Are they saved? Basically, yeah, the scripture says they are. They're just still living after the shadow and have not seen the light. I haven't heard from above. Okay? So the apostles call together this big junta, this big meeting. And they come together to talk about the situation. This is Acts 15 and verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. All right. So this is Peter, and he's different. He's not going, you know, he's, remember in Antioch, he was pulled to one side to the others when the when those Pharisees or whatever didn't come from Jerusalem, he was eating with the Gentiles and, yeah, praise God, you know, we're free. But when they came, he didn't like the pressure, and a little bit of the stuff probably still rose in him. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's called religion. And he goes, oh, well, I gotta. Yeah, I gotta will get you. I gotta, you know. And so then he separates from the Gentiles and only sits over at the Jewish table. But when this comes up and there's strong opposition, you can read it, that brings this whole meeting. This was like a worldwide meeting to discuss this issue. Peter stands up and goes, by my mouth and God showed me. I heard from heaven because heavens are open. A voice spoke. And that voice said, don't call unclean what I call clean. Okay? What happened to him? He changed. My Lord, he changed. And now when the change comes, not because he went down to an altar call and someone laid hands on him. And I'm not opposed to that. Not, we do that. But can we believe beyond that? Can we believe for heaven opened in our own bedroom in the middle of the night or while we're driving? Or and can we cry out for that? And can we not be passive? And can we not just sit still waiting on God to do something? You know, I mean, there's nothing worse than playing a chess game with somebody and you already moved and they forgot and they're waiting on you to move. And if you don't talk, because a lot of times in chess you don't, you could sit there for years and he's thinking, it's your move. And the guy's going, dude, I was the last one. It's your move. God's saying, it's your move. It's your move. It's your move. Well, what do? I mean, I go to church. In what spirit? Well, I do things for God. Even if you do, you know, remember, Peter had walked with the Lord all those years, and he still had these things because he hadn't heard from heaven. If you want change, what was the title? I don't even have it. Hearing from Heaven When Change Is Absolutely Necessary. Nobody's gonna talk you into that. No altar call should be allowed to talk you into that. You should rattle your own cage. You should say, you know what? I would like things more aligned with the living God. And I would like my responses and the way that I proceed to come from eternal life. Not from, well, I know this is right. Or I know that Christ would do that. You know, what would Christ do? What would Jesus do? You know, I mean, well, let's take that a step further. Well, what would Jesus eat? You see what I'm saying? I mean, come on. What would Jesus eat? What would Jesus do? It's not a matter. We have Jesus in us. Amen. We don't have to know what he will do. We just have to let him live. We have to embrace the cross. And we have to embrace those together, the death, the resurrection, my death, him as my resurrection. I am, he said, I am. He didn't say, I am resurrector. And I will resurrect you. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life of resurrection. But I don't care how many times someone preaches that, including today. If the heart doesn't say, my God, I've got to hear from heaven. I do. I've got to hear from heaven. And don't just stay faithful for 2 weeks. Well, you know, and we all do that. I've done it many times. Oh, Lord, I really want you, you know. And the second week, I do. I really want you. And then by the third week, I forget that I do it. He goes, what? Yeah. You know, and the bad thing is he reminds me sometimes a year later and said, I had you in the right place. You're moving in the right direction. And you gave up. I did. I'm sorry, Lord. So we set our hearts. We set our prayers. We set our heart in such a manner that the Holy Spirit doesn't, that we don't even think in terms of him doing anything except for whatever your definitions of those Bible things are. You understand? You don't have to know what they are. That confuses you. It makes you look for something that may not be coming. And it kind of is like a shallow ceiling that keeps you, you know. But without definitions, just, I want you, Lord. Without definitions, I just want you, and I don't even know what that means. But I believe you know what it means, and I believe that you care, and I believe that you are stirring me in this manner, and I believe this is your timing, and I believe that it just seems impossible in the earth, but you told me what things are impossible in the earth are not. Are possible with God, are possible with God, but not just the God of passivity, the God, the living God. You could say the God of Abraham, the God of David, the God, you see what I mean? You could say that. I don't know what that, but they, it was real with them. And man, they had the Lord. So, Lord, forget. Yeah, I don't think he gets up there and goes, well, you didn't say it right. I don't think he does that. I don't think, you know, I mean, you've got to say it exactly a certain way. I remember long years ago, I was in a deliverance session with another brother. We were trying to deliver this one brother, and I was speaking to the enemy to come out, and the brother that was working with me said, well, you have to call its name. You have to know specifically, excuse me, you have to know specifically what its name is. And the Spirit of God was all over me, and I just said, look, I don't care. I didn't say to the guy, the one I'm delivering, I don't care if his name's Bob. I don't care what your name is, demon. I don't care if it's Susie. You're coming out in the name of Jesus, because the authority is based on his name, not your name. Why did I bring that up all of a sudden? Because we think that we have to say everything just right, or our heart has to be, oh, I have to be really tender and, you know, like mushy or something. I don't know what. Look, you don't have to cry. You don't have to feel anything. All you got to do is say, Lord, I do want you. I do. But the you that I want, I don't have a clue what that means. So Holy Spirit, that's your job, buddy. And you might think that God would react negatively toward that. I guarantee he won't. He's going to go, we're getting somewhere. Something's happening in the earth. It's rumbling. That which is can be shook is being shook. In a good way. Carolyn, do you have something?
Yeah, I know that for a while there, I felt like I couldn't pray for people because I wasn't that righteous. You know,
right.
I mean, until finally, God realized, I'm not. And I can't be righteous. And he's the one that's on their behalf.
Right.
I'm
Amen. Well, and that's common for all of us to come from that kind of an angle, thinking you're not righteous and therefore God's not going to move or whatever. That is a common trap that makes us focus on ourselves. I think it's admirable that we want to be right and that we want to feel something deeply and that, you know, in some cases, you know, well, that we could just cry while we're crying out to God. Not just going, I want you! But go, oh, I want you. God wants us changed. But the change is in him when we're found in him. He is the change. It's not us. It's not us. Not I, but Christ. What does that mean? Not you. Not me. And that goes for everything. If we're dead, then he's not going to make you righteous. He didn't make Adam righteous, folks. He crucified him. He's not going to fix what's broken. He's not going to patch up the old creation. You are now a new creation. Where? In Christ Jesus. And many times, hearing from heaven, folks, there's nothing more than, in a fresh, fantastic way, hearing what's already settled in him and the way that he's seen you all along. And then your manifestations will start lining up. But they'll only be manifestations of him. They're not going to be earth-shaking changes of you. All right. But I don't want to end with that. I want to end with this. In a certain way, folks, you could say we've been indoctrinated. Maybe I was the one who did it. We've been indoctrinated with truth or truths, maybe even with truth. But Jesus didn't just say, I am the way and the truth. He said, I'm the life. And this thing's got to come down to encountering him beyond what we know. I mean, if we met Jesus as the way, it's almost like we can pass him up, keep him with us, but, you know, have him walk with us until we meet Jesus the truth, which is all the same Jesus, but I'm trying to show that it's a progression. Oh, this is Jesus the truth. I only knew Jesus the way. And then y'all walk together for a while until Jesus the life comes. But Jesus the life is really difficult to define. Because we'll be told it's this and that, you got to be sacrificial, da 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 da, and then we'll try to do that without him. And that won't work. It won't work. It doesn't work. So there has to be a fresh heart cry. Amen. Well, that's the way I started. I love Jesus. And I love you guys. I love you. And I groan in the Spirit for you. And I will not rest until Jerusalem, which is above, be made a praise in the earth. Amen. Father, we just long after that reality that is in heaven, that kingdom, that son, that he be manifested through us in the earth, that we be bride, that we no longer just seek to remain in heavenly places, but that we want to come down to the earth. We want the one that you put in us to be real. Not just to us, but to other people. Real. Real Jesus. Real Christian living, which is called Christ. And it pleased you, Father, that you see your Son. And you say, that's my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Not us. Not our righteousness. Lord, I just pray that you'll take us out of here with hearts that will get alone with you and that will set the ball rolling. Father, I just pray this for them now. They, as well as I, do not know how to define these things in proper way, and to do so, at many cases, to do so would just fill our minds with truth that we think we have instead of the life of the truth that we do have but are ignorant of until you are revealed. So, Father, like Colossians 3 says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then we appear. But we don't appear before that until we're one with the life, and the life is our life. So, Holy Spirit, if it's your will, Father, if it's your will, Jesus, if it's your will, begin a pre-conference for us. In our busyness, let us be ever praying under our breath, ever open, ever crying out. Remind us when we forget. Stir us when we become stagnant. And we ask that not for our sakes, but for the glory of your Son, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks.